miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're listening, and I hope you are, all around the country on RadioMD.com. If you're listening there, great. If you're listening in your local radio station, we're on about 33. And I've just heard that we're on WCGO. I think it's 1590 in Evanston. If you're there, you can always email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com to tell us about your questions or concerns, or you can call in 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, and hopefully you'll get to speak to Sonar, who will put you on the air. One of the most interesting stories of the week occurs with the knowledge, if you will, that tweeting is more studying tweets and what they're about and the geography they're coming from tells you more about where heart disease is than does even the prevalence of diabetes or of a number of other, if you will, things such as smoking prevalence. So when you say it tells you that if the smoking prevalence is high in a country, you'd expect the heart disease rate to be high. And you say, how does tweeting do it? Well, it tells you what they did is they analyzed the tweets for hostility. So this is anger, hostility, and anxiety. And they found those places in the world, those cities and countries with the highest anxiety and hostility had higher heart disease rates, and that in fact overwhelmed the diabetes. It overwhelmed the influence of diabetes from that area or smoking diabetes and blood pressure combined. Bridget, did that surprise you?
It does surprise me, but at the same time, when you think about it more, it makes sense. I think that people are using social media as an outlet for negative emotions, maybe also positive emotions. So it makes sense that that would convey that they have maybe higher stress levels and a higher risk of heart disease.
Huh, okay.
Do you agree?
Well, I understand where you are and that you aren't as surprised as I am. I was surprised just because it didn't seem to me that hostility should overwhelm the other factors, but it brings back that stress levels are, in fact, the greatest cause of illness in society. That is our inability to manage stress. And so that we have a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, memory loss, of cancer, of accidents, of all of infections with high stress levels, and brings up again probably the importance of managing your own stress level to combat this, if you will, strongly. Say it again.
I was going to say, in addition to weight gain, I think that stress is a major contributor to weight gain, and even if you're making dietary changes and you're not seeing results that you would expect from losing weight, a lot of times it might be because you're missing the stress management component to keep your cortisol levels down and decrease your abdominal fat.
I think that's correct. The other thing that is common in this situation is that one of the things that has been done for now, I think it's 5 or 6 years, Google looked at flu trends. That is, where is the flu and how common is it? based on tweets of people asking about flu, and this has been able to predict the CDC reports of flu. That is, it was able to find the flu way before anything else. And so this has been a very good predictor of flu rates. And the Google flu trend, which hit a very high level in mid-December, has now turned way down then in mid-January, and now is, although we're still kind of in mid-January, is turning back up. So that's a little scary, because when you look at this, it's very rare that it turns back up after it turned down. I'm afraid that people didn't get the flu shot as frequently this year, because of the stories about it missing the H3N2 or being imprecise in it. And consequently, the other three flus, especially the influenza B, which the flu shot protects against. So the flu shots protect against four kinds, that the other three are now going to have their run of us, because they occur later than the classic H and N flus. And this one is the influenza B is what tends to come in February, late February, and it looks like it's turning up sharply. And so I worry a little bit about us having a real recrudescence of flu. And with that, of course, comes the risk of heart disease, stroke, and memory loss, because that's what comes with the flu. That is, when you have that much inflammation in your body from flu, you rupture plaque, and that causes heart disease, stroke, memory loss, even in younger people, that rupturing of plaque. So that's my concern.
And risk of death for the elderly and anyone that's immune compromised.
That's correct. And so I'm a little more worried about that coming back this year. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, it's still not too late, and you can protect yourself against the late February recrudescence. It takes about 2 weeks for the flu shot to have an appreciable effect. You start to see it in 1 week, but in 2 weeks, it's got about two-thirds of its effects, and by the end of 3 weeks, you're seeing the full effect. Again, you can email us at udocs@gmail.com. Or you can email us at udocs@gmail.com, or you can call us at 800-527-7211. 877.
I messed it up today too.
877-711-5211. 877-5211. Oh, I really screwed it up.
711-5211.
5211. The other story that I want to squeeze in, if we can, before the break at the half hour. So, Bridge, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it, but is pizza impacting kids' health?
Yes, apparently it is, based on a national survey that was done, the National NHANES Surgery, which is done to get a really good predictor of what people are eating. So what they found from children ages 2 to 11 and adolescents ages 12 to 19 is that when kids were eating pizza, specifically from fast food restaurants, that was associated with a 323 calorie increase in their total daily intake for adolescents. And then they compared that with pizza from school cafeterias, which actually led to a slightly lower increase in their calorie intake than fast food
restaurants. When we come back in the second hour, we'll have to discuss that greater, because that's a huge increase. Right now, coming up, we're going to talk about how you can cure your post-holiday blues with Colleen E. Kearney, who is Director of Sleep and Depression Laboratory at University of Toronto. We'll be right back.